Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening today. We're going to be talking about a supernatural, incredible, marvelous event, the kicking off of the New Testament Church. And first, I want to give just a short update about the projects going on here in Africa. We're wrapping up the construction of a pastor's house here in Makunda, outside of Mumias in West Kenya. We're attaching a pastor's house to the church, and because of the building permit, we had to attach it right to the church, and so we're just about to finish that project, and the pastor will be moving in to that house probably within the month. And so the children's home is going well. We have about 20 children in the home, and they are preparing for school within the next 2 to 3 weeks. They haven't given an exact date yet, but within the next 2 to 3 weeks, the children will be going back to school, and most of the children, about 16 of our children, will be going to a public school about 10 to 15 minute walk away from the children's home, and we'll have a staff member walk them down there each day and then walk them home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then 4 of our children will be going to a special needs school, and we can either take them to that school or we can bring a teacher over from that school or from some other place, just a special needs or special education teacher from another place into our compound at the children's home, and special needs children can be taught there for a few hours each day. So that is what is going on. There's no crusades yet in Kenya. There's maybe some crusades in Tanzania, possibly starting up in November. And if that's true, we may go to Tanzania in November for a crusade. But as of yet, nothing in Kenya. So that's the status of the ministry here in Kenya at this time. Well, I talked about a magnificent, glorious event, and that is the initiation or the starting of the New Testament church. And it actually started when Jesus passed out the gifts, the structural gifts, the office gifts of the New Testament church. And he did that while he was in the tomb, while his body was laying in the tomb. His spirit went down to Sheol, or down to hell, and he descended down to hell. He released the captives, the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament believers, those who had believed in God up until the time of the resurrection, up until the time of Jesus going to the cross. He went down into Sheol, and he released those who had been held captive because of the time that they were waiting for the redemption of Jesus Christ. And so the redemption came through the blood of Jesus. When he went to the cross, he shed his blood. It was not only for us and those of us who would come after Jesus, but it was also to redeem those and pay the ransom, pay for the sin of those who had gone before him. And so they were waiting, they were waiting, they were waiting in a place called Abraham's bosom in Sheol. And when Jesus' blood was shed for them, then he was able to make the payment for their release. And it tells us in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 7, about this release and what happened with the saints who were in Sheol. And so it says in 4:7, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." And in verse 9 it says, "In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth?" He who descended is the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Well, I'll get back to that in just a minute all the different office gifts that Jesus dispensed or that Jesus passed out. But the most important thing to take away from the scripture is the fact that Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth. He who ascended is also the same who descended into the lower parts of the earth, led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Well, who were the captives? The captives were those Old Testament saints, the believers, going back to the time of Adam and Eve and Abel, the first who died and was redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so all of those saints were waiting. They were waiting for the blood of Jesus. They were waiting for the time of their redemption. And the Bible tells us that he led a host of captives. He went down to hell, Jesus did, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, we're going home. My blood has been shed for you, and my blood is sufficient for your redemption to pay the ransom for your sins." And so he led the host of captives. And at that time, the Bible says, he gave gifts to men. Well, those gifts that he gave were distributed when the New Testament church was born, just a few days later on the day of Pentecost. Those gifts were distributed to men, and the New Testament church then came into being. It came into life, and the New Testament church is the church that we belong to today. It's the body of Christ. It is God's hands and feet on this earth. It is God's instrument to do his will on this earth. And so this is an amazing event in the annals of Christian doctrine, in the annals of Christian faith. This is an amazing event. Well, in 1 Peter 3, I have a scripture here that talks about that event when Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth to preach and to release those who were being held captive. 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom," or by the Spirit, "he also went and preached to the spirits in prison." Okay, who are the spirits in prison? And he goes on to tell us here, Peter goes on to tell us who these spirits were. He said, "who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were being saved through water." And so what's he saying here? He's saying that there was bound spirits in hell who were disobedient at the time of Noah. They had come, if you go back to Genesis chapter 6 and read about the account of Noah and the ark, the disobedient spirits were fallen angels who had come down, and they were having relations with the daughters of men. And so the offspring of that relationship, or those relationships, the offspring of those relationships was the Nephilim, the giants, the men of renown who were walking upon the earth at that time. And you can read all about that in the first few verses of chapter 6 in the book of Genesis. But those who were disobedient, those spirits who were disobedient, were bound in hell, and Jesus went down and he preached to them. It tells us in verse 19, he went by the Holy Spirit and preached to these spirits who were being held captive in prison. And after he preached to them, he took the keys of hell away from the devil, and he opened up the gates so that those bound, the saints who were bound in Abraham's bosom, so that they could be released and go to heaven as Jesus went and sat down at the right hand of God. Well, Peter talks about it again in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. "They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." He's talking about rebellious spirits here. "They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Verse 6. "For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So that's talking about Jesus going down to Sheol, and he's preaching to those who are dead, and they are going to be judged according to men in the flesh. But the end of all things, verse 7, is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And another scripture referring to this event, 2 Peter 2, verse 4. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So their final judgment has not come yet. Their final judgment is awaiting the great white throne judgment when the devil is judged and the beast and the false prophet are all judged and they will be thrown into the lake of fire. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20 and Revelation chapter 19. But it tells us that God did not spare those who had rebelled. He did not spare the ancient world, but he saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And so Noah wasn't just a carpenter. He wasn't just a farmer. He was a preacher. And so Noah had been preaching for about 100 years or so. Up until the time of the flood, he had been preaching to all mankind that he could preach to about being ready, about repenting, about getting right before the Lord. But of course, they didn't listen. And so the flood came and the whole world was judged at that time. And everybody was perishing. Everybody on the earth perished in the flood except Noah and his family, a total of eight people, and the animals and those that he had brought with him on the ark. Well, 2 Peter 2, verse 6, and the Lord turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And so that sexual sin that the fallen angels were accused of and guilty of, that sexual sin God showed in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned those two big cities into ashes, making them an example to those who would afterward live ungodly. God does not want us to follow in their footsteps, and so he made an example out of Sodom and Gomorrah that their cities would turn to ashes and all those people perish because of their ungodly behavior. Well, going back to the passage of scripture in Ephesians, we see that Jesus had led the captivity captive. He led the host of captives up out of Sheol, and he led them to heaven, and they sat down with him at the right hand of God because his blood paid the payment for their sin. And so we see that we have five separate gifts, and this is the term, the fivefold ministry. Some of you may have heard of that term, fivefold ministry, came from this passage of scripture, and it talks about the five office gifts, those gifts given to men so that the New Testament church could be established. And God is a God of order. There is no chance, there is no haphazard organization, there is no haphazard structure to the New Testament church. It is a church that has been ordered by God. It has been ordained by God. Every aspect of it is an orderly aspect. Every aspect of it is directed and encouraged and strengthened by God. And so when Jesus passed out the gifts, it says in verse 12 in Ephesians 4, it is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, that's a big Paulism there, a long Paulism we call that, where Paul links together many different ideas and links together many different proposals, and it's a very lengthy sentence, but what Paul is trying to say is that God established through Jesus Christ his Son, who was the one who distributed the gifts, God established the New Testament church so that we could be built up in unity, we could be built up in faith, we could be built up in our love for each other, and we could be built up in such a way that when we go out into the world and preach the gospel or perform the acts of service for the kingdom of God, when we go out in the world, we have the power and we have the ordination, we have the anointing, and we have the structure to get the job done, not only to stay in unity and to stay cohesive and focused on the task at hand, but also that we can love the world, that we can love those in the world that need to know about Jesus, and that we are built up to be a powerful force to accomplish the will of God on this earth. And beloved, if you're out there listening to me today and you don't know what your purpose is here on this earth, if you're out there listening today and you've never figured out why you were born or what God's plan for your life is, spend some time in prayer, spend some time in fasting, spend some time reading God's word, and beloved, you will come to understand, you will come to know what God's plan for your life is. Faithful is he who called you, and he will see it come to pass. Faithful is he who called you, and so he will call you. Every single person on this earth has a call in the kingdom of God. Every single person has a destiny that needs to be fulfilled, and if you don't know your destiny, if you're just out there and you're a believer and you're biding time, God wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you into your calling, into your destiny. He wants you to find your purpose so that you can get about working and get about moving in the kingdom of God and bringing the gospel to those who need to know about Jesus. And so God is no respecter of persons. He does not show partiality. He will open the door for you. He will reveal himself to you in such a way that you will know without any doubt what his purpose for your life is and how you can go about to attain that purpose and implement that purpose here on this earth. Well, back to the gifts that the Lord distributed. We see in Ephesians chapter 4 there, verse 8, he distributed five gifts. The first as apostle, the second as prophet, the third as evangelist, the fourth as pastor, and the fifth as teacher. And so we'll look at these one by one briefly. This is could easily be a five-part study, but we're just going to touch on each of them right now, and I'm going to give a verse or two for each one just to show how this all manifested in the body of Christ. Well, the apostle is the sent one, and Paul, of course, was the greatest apostle after Jesus Christ. Paul was an apostle, and he called himself in Titus 1:1, I, Paul, a bondservant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul, he starts that passage of scripture, that chapter out. He says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so in just about every one of the letters and the epistles that Paul wrote, he starts it out by claiming himself to be an apostle. Where did he get this claim? He says, it did not come from man. He was not sent out by man. He was not ordained by man. He was ordained by Jesus Christ, the will of God, by the will of God. And Paul then became the sent one. The apostle is the sent one. And so you could say missionaries have an apostolic calling. They have an apostolic anointing because they have been sent out from their home base, from wherever they came from. They've been sent out to the mission field and sent out to a place where God has called them to work. Well, the second office gift was the gift of prophet. And again, in 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 14, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you that was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." Well, Timothy was the spiritual son of the Apostle Paul, and Timothy was sent out to many of the same places that Paul went. He came in Paul's footsteps, you might say. And so Paul tells him, don't neglect the gift that was given to you by prophecy. And so Timothy probably had the prophetic gift, I'm sure, but also some people who were prophets or had the prophetic gift laid their hands on Timothy and sent him out to follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Well, we all have the prophetic gift, those of us who have testified and believed that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. We have the prophetic gift. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy. And so we all have that prophetic gift. That is God's will. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. We know in part, we see in part the future, but because we see in part, we're able to operate with some degree of certainty about what's coming in the future. And that gives us confidence, that gives us boldness, it gives us hope to continue and encouragement to continue each and every day to do the will of God. Well, the third gift I want to talk about is that of evangelist. Again, looking at the work of Paul, 2 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have tickling or itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy to preach the word. And so I'm encouraging somebody out there today, preach the word. Somebody, God is urging you and giving you unction to preach the word. And so this is the evangelist calling. He wants to be the gatherer. He goes out into the field and he gathers all of those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, Romans 10:14 tells us, how will they hear without a preacher? And so the preacher on the TV, on the radio, in the crusade field, in the church, the evangelist gift is very important. And so he is the one who preaches the gospel. Jesus Christ himself was a preacher. He preached to the multitudes. In every village, he preached to the multitudes. Well, the fourth gift is that of the pastor or the overseer, and the pastor is the guardian of the flock. 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a faithful saying, Paul says, if a man desires the position of bishop or overseer, he desires a good work. And so we honor our pastors, we pray for our pastors. A pastor is a high calling. He has to take care of the flock, he guards them and watches over them, but he also teaches them, and he sits with them in the hospital, he sits with them in the funeral home and in the nursing home. And so it is a high calling and it is a difficult job. And the last gift here spoken of is the teacher, and the teacher is the one who makes sure that the people are understanding and hearing sound doctrine. Back to 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will be heaping up for themselves false teachers. And so it's very important that people be taught sound doctrine, very important that people be led to the scripture, and that when they get together, they're taught good scriptural teachings. And so that is the job of the pastor and teacher, to teach the flock sound doctrine so the wolves can't come in and tear them apart. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, all the many years of prayer and support. If you would like to support us, stay tuned for the contact information. We'd love to hear from you, not only to keep these radio broadcasts coming, but to keep the projects in Africa going. And we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord. We'd love to hear from you. And so stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.